And welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us now, Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney. Sheriff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sly. It's always good to join you.
Well, before we talk about what's going on with the jail in Dane County, I want to get your reaction to how law enforcement handled the capture of Joseph Jacobowski and what it took to get that job done.
Well, on that case coming out of Janesville, I think that Sheriff Spoden and Chief Moore from the city of Janesville did everything within their capabilities. I was invited down by Sheriff Spoden to see their operation and to get a briefing on what had occurred with the gun shop burglary and the manifesto mailing, and I was just amazed at the resources that were brought in by the federal government, particularly the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and took a tour of their command center and saw the great cooperation between both the national, state, and local law enforcement to try to ensure safety of the citizens of Rock County in the face of this individual and the threats that he had made. I know that their men and women were working around the clock. They were extremely tired. I had even talked about relieving their staff with some of ours because of the number of days that they had worked without time off and the number of hours that they worked. You know, I think that it highlights the quality service that citizens get from law enforcement, whether it's our county sheriffs, our city police departments, our village police departments. You know, when there's a mission to accomplish, in this case to find this very dangerous offender, that everybody worked well together. They knocked down the silos that often exist to get the job done, and I think the citizens of southern Wisconsin should be very, very proud, all the way from Richland County all the way over to the Illinois border.
Were you concerned he was going to show up at a church in Dane County?
Well, my office took many calls from schools and churches who were concerned that in his manifesto he had identified both schools and organized religion, and they were concerned about the safety of their parishioners as well as students who were soon going to be returning from spring break. And so, you know, we had advised them on how to best prepare their religious services as well as how to secure their schools should this have gone longer. But very, very fortunately, due to the actions of this farmer and counselor out in Richland and Vernon County, that he took action when something wasn't right. He called law enforcement.
But you know, you couldn't have found a better person to stumble upon him, because he clearly had some skills to keep him calm.
Absolutely, and I think it played out. The story played out when we saw that he interacted and consoled and counseled this individual to the point that by the end of their brief conversation, he actually wanted the counselor to come back to his camp and talk to him. And I don't think it could have had a better resolution than what occurred.
Do you work with gun stores in Dane County as far as trying to prevent this from happening?
We do. We talk about securing of firearms, and you know, for our major large firearm stores, they do take all the due diligence to ensure that if they are the victim of a business burglary, that it's as difficult as possible to remove these firearms. You know, I saw the video of what occurred down in Edgerton, and it's unfortunate that he was able to escape with that amount of armament. But the good news was that, you know, now after the resolution that these firearms were never used in against another human being and weren't used in another offense.
I have to say I'm really quite pleasantly surprised at how peacefully this ended.
Yeah, I was, you know, there were a lot of things that surprised me. His final location in Richland and Vernon counties surprised me because I actually had a little wager going with Sheriff Spoden that he was probably going to be in one of the summer cottages along the Rock River, but fortunately he was out of Rock County and was in rural Wisconsin and was captured by two very, very highly qualified sheriff's offices in Richland and Vernon County, and with cooperation from FBI from as far north as Minneapolis. So our citizens should be very proud.
Have they figured out how he got over there?
I have not heard the final outcome of their interview.
And finally, what was Dane County's role in working with Rock County?
Well, just being a partner and having resources available for whatever their needs were. We did have a UAV operator or drone operator that utilized some of our equipment over in Rock County to help do some surveillance looking for this individual. We had a potential Bearcat that could have been used should it was needed, and other resources, including our bomb squad and then patrol staff to augment theirs to try to bring a little bit of relief had it gone much longer.
Politicians might want to remember at moments that you're being criticized for what type of long-arm guns your men and women have to protect themselves, what they can be up against.
Well, in this case, we know that he stole both high-powered rifles, at least one fully automatic rifle.
Fully automatic?
Fully wow. automatic, yeah. As well as some high-caliber handguns that could have been used had that been his mindset. And, you know, with the amount of fear that existed in the community, it was a good example of why we equip our law enforcement officers with the equipment they need to at least be on the same level playing field, and at times need to be even at a higher level should the need arise.
Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney with us at slysoffice.com. All right, there was a pretty extensive article about the Dane County Jail in the City County Building. You have been asking that be replaced for how many years now?
Well, I've been asking for 10 years, and both my predecessors before had been bringing to light, failures in the City County Building Jail and talking about its need for replacement. But the most recent number of studies have gone back to 2002, and in that period of time, we've spent $2 million on studies to get us to the point to feel comfortable that building needs to be replaced. And I'm looking forward as we move into the 2018 budget. I hope that the county board and the county executive and our citizens all believe that that's the direction we need to go and we get this project moving before a very catastrophic incident occurs.
Okay, so the building is unsafe for a number of reasons. The locks?
Well, we know for a fact that the locks on both the east side and west side have had a propensity to fail, where when we move to unlock the doors electronically, the electrical locks fail. We try to override them with manual operations. Those have failed. And we've had a number of incidents where individuals who were locked in cells could not be released for between 3 and 5 hours, in light of the fact that we've had suicide attempts, we've had the jail fill with smoke on a couple of occasions, we've had other emergencies, and, you know, in light of that, we know that if these failures continued, it was only a matter of time before somebody was very critically injured, if not killed.
And then what about the water?
Well, we recently did a audit or analysis of all the water in the jail. We had previously done the drinking fountains, but we did an extensive study of all the water in the jail and found that we had extensive levels of lead in the water supplies. And so as a result, we are now in the process of placing extensive filters on the water system so that we can eliminate as much of the lead content in the water as possible.
You know, I'm still not sure I'd want to drink that water, Sheriff.
Well, we put up signs, which is all we can do at this point with the jail that we have to operate in. Encouraging people to not drink the water, or if they are going to drink the water, to run it for 5 minutes before they consume it. And I'll have to admit that's unrealistic because our own staff can bring in water or they can find alternative fluids to drink. But if you're incarcerated in the jail, your only option is to drink the water that comes from those spigots. And it's imperative that we provide, at a minimum, lead-free water.
And the asbestos?
Well, we know that there's asbestos. We know that there's lead in the paint. You know, we've had some plumbing failures and challenges. Most recently, we had a water leak that leaked down on the fifth floor and damaged some equipment. So we know that we have issues there. You know, time is of the essence. It's what we have been talking about for years, and if we just wait, eventually there'll be an emergency, if not a catastrophe. So again, my hope is that, you know, we are doing our due diligence to have everything in place to move forward with a plan in 2018 in hopes of replacing that jail with one of the options that have been presented to the county board.
There's now federal lawsuits against the county because of this jail.
Yeah, and we'll move ahead as best we can. You know, we have a moral and ethical responsibility to house people safely and humanely. And humanely is another challenge that we have because in our 1,013-bed jail, we do not have even one medical bed. And so as a result, when somebody has to be housed separate, because of a medical or mental health condition, or if they're confined to a mobility device that prevents them from being in general population, we're forced to house them in a solitary confinement cell, which is a 6-foot by 9-foot concrete block cell with lights are on 24 hours a day, and they are limited to lines of sight and to sound and interaction with other individuals. And I would challenge that's inhumane.
Is this the worst county jail in the state?
Well, if it's not the worst, it's tied. I don't know of a county that has some of the challenges that we have, particularly the locks that fail. Now, in all fairness, we do have money in the 2017 budget that we're moving ahead to try to replace locks, but that will only get us a temporary fix of roughly 2 years, and that's the period of time that we need to move forward on replacement. And in that period of time, we still have some very significant challenges, you know, with the bars on the cells that allow people to harm themselves or attempt to harm themselves. But you know, what makes me proud and what allows me to get up every day and keep coming back here, even in the challenges that we have in that facility, is the people who work in that facility. Our men and women who are deputy sheriffs, our support staff, our chaplaincy program, our counselors, our social workers, are the ones that are keeping people from getting injured, from getting killed, with the infrastructure failures that occurring. It's because of the people.
Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney with us at slysoffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
You're at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. We're talking with Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney. All right, clearly there has not been the political will to bite the bullet on this type of expenditure. You have offered up multiple proposals, and yet they keep, the county executive keeps rejecting them. What's the problem? Have you sat down and talked with him and said, look, we need to get this done? Has he been in the jail?
Yes, the county executive has been in our jail. He knows the extent of the problems and the challenges. There are a lot of competing programs that require funding, and it's the dollar amount. And so we are working with the county board and the county executive and our consultants to put together a third option that will be presented to our committees in May in hopes of moving it forward to get a approval to move into our 2018 budget to begin the process of replacement with one of the two options that are still on the table. And so I feel confident. You know, I know that the county board cares about the people who are incarcerated in our jail. I know that our county executive cares about them. We need to find that sweet spot, if you will, in the dollar amount that will allow us to move forward. And I'm confident that we're going to do that in 2018.
Well, you know, you say that you know that they care, but, you know, I see all sorts of proposals. I see the county board and the county board especially talking about a major revitalization of the Coliseum and the Alliant Energy Center, which I don't have a problem with. But I would think that this would be far more important, especially because the county's responsible for people's safety while they're being incarcerated. Well, I see press releases and events for expanding bike trails. I see all sorts of stuff. I guess it isn't flashy to put up a new jail, but the county is twice the size it was when that building was built.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. The jail project is going to be one of the largest public works projects that the county has moved forward on since the 60s, but it's the most important. In light of the Alliant Energy Center proposals and many of the other needs and wants in this county, as you said, we're dealing with human lives. And how do you compete with the value of a human life? Every one of these people who's living in that dangerous and inhumane jail is a member of somebody's family in our community, and they're coming back into our community. And we have a moral and ethical responsibility to treat them and make sure that they're safe, treat them humanely, and to ensure that they return into the community at a minimum in as good a condition as they came to us.
How what's determined? How do people end up in the upper floors of the city-county building versus in the other public safety building?
Well, the city-county building jail, by design, is our maximum security jail, so it has our most challenging inmate population. Because it's individual cells, it also becomes the facility in which the 48% of the population spends most of their time if they're diagnosed with a significant mental illness that prevents them from being in general population, which is even more important that we have proper and humane housing. When we're talking about isolating people because of their mental health condition and we're putting them into inhumane conditions because of the fact that they're mentally ill, we should be very concerned about that.
You know, you've had political pressure from another direction. Young Gifted and Black Coalition and others have been opposed to building another jail, period, at some point. Where does that stand, and is that playing a role in the delay on this jail?
Well, there are certainly special interests in the community that continue to speak against the renovation, remodeling, and replacement of that jail. Some want us to eliminate the jail completely and let everybody out on the street. Others want us to build a mental health facility instead of replacement of the jail. And I don't disagree with there being a need for more community-based mental health programs, but we will continue to house people in solitary confinement unless we replace its current manifestation. And so the argument that we need to build something instead just really does not hold any water.
Is your current best option building up on the public safety building, which is between the courthouse and the city hall?
Yeah, the pending option number 3 that will be introduced next month will call for adding 4 floors onto the public safety building, some renovation to the existing building to allow for more medical and mental health housing to meet the needs of the entire public safety building population. It'll also assist us in closing the 3rd facility out at the Atlanta Energy Center and bring all of the individuals into one facility, which will increase efficiencies and cost effectiveness for the taxpayer and allow us to run a much more efficient operation.
Are you're referring to the Ferris Huber Center?
The Ferris Huber Center, right.
You know, Bill Ferris hired you. He was certainly a big change for law enforcement.
That building's named after Bill Ferris. Right. Bill Ferris has been one of the most significant change agents since the early 70s when he was first elected. You know, he created policies and procedures to guide the future of this organization. He developed some levels of professionalisms that did not exist previously and held people accountable to a higher level of service. And we have continued to grow since his era of law enforcement to today. I'm very, very proud to lead a 600-person sheriff's office that is guided by core fundamental values and a mission of service to others before ourselves to ensure a safe community through partnerships and professionalism. And I'm proud every day to come to work. That's why I've made a commitment that in 2018 I'll be running again as sheriff.
There is a lack of foresight in the situation that you were handed. Obviously, expanding the jail and the upper floors of the city county building wasn't a very good idea, you know, 30 years ago or whenever they did that. Whatever the plan is that comes to fruition, if any plan comes to fruition, and I hope it does, are you looking towards making sure that future sheriffs don't have to deal with the type of crisis you're dealing with?
Yep, absolutely. My goal in this upcoming, as I mentioned, largest public works project since, you know, the 50s and 60s, is to ensure that we are prepared for the future and so that we as citizens of Dane County don't have to go through this again.
It's a pretty remarkable situation. What do you, you've got the bully pulpit. You're one of the most respected political leaders in the county. What should people do if they want to see something done about this jail?
Well, they need to stand up and make an investment by contacting their county board supervisors, their elected officials, whether it be in the city or the county, including the mayors of their respective cities, their county board members, their county executive, and make their wishes known. You know, my job is to carry out the desires of this community. I've done several hundred tours throughout the jail. Hundreds of citizens have toured the city county building jail, and to the person, everybody has come out and said this jail must be replaced. It cannot continue to operate in its existing form, and the time is now, and we need to prepare for the 2018 budget to move forward for its replacement.
That type of jail is not exactly in vogue anymore, right? It won't be replaced with something that looks like that.
No. No, it absolutely will not. Matter of fact, legally, you could not operate that jail, and you couldn't build that type of a jail.
Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney, thanks for coming to Sly'sOffice.com.
It's always good to join you, Sly, and to speak with your listeners.
All right. Sly'sOffice.com brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going. We support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.